Good morning. Everybody's so far away. Let's open to John chapter 21. And obviously, Pastor Sam has gone through the book of John. But I just want to revisit it for a little bit because I just feel like it can help somebody this morning. John chapter 21. And we'll read the majority of the chapter, but let's start in verse 3. John 21, 3. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got caught out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breaking breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you to where you do not wish to go." Now this, he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned around, saw the disciples whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned back on his bosom at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is it that to you? You follow me." And we'll stop right there. Well, according to John chapter 21, after the resurrection, Peter is completely dejected after denying Christ three times. And so we notice that Peter goes back to doing what he originally had done. He was a fisherman. Jesus called him to follow him. And then after the denial, he went back to what he was familiar with. And in verse 3, Peter says, "I go fishing." Now, that's an interesting translation because if you look at the original Greek, the word is hupago. And it's an interesting word because there are a couple different definitions of that word hupago. It could mean "I retire." But it also could mean "I go away," but it also means "I die." And so it gives us incredible insight to the heart of Peter, which you can already imagine. But Peter, when he's after the Lord is died and he's denied him three times, he goes and says to his brothers and his fellow disciples, and he says, "I die. I just want to go away and die. I just want to retire." And so Peter quits preaching. And he goes back to do what he knows, what is best. And I don't know if he was so persuasive, but the other disciples say to him, "You know what, Peter, I'm going to go with you." And remember, 7 out of the 11 went with him, and not all of them were fishermen. But they decide, "You know, I'm going to go fishing with you." And so here's Peter, devastated by failure, and he goes back to fishing. So Peter went from being a fisherman instead of continuing to be a fisher of men. He went back to casting nets instead of casting God's word. And so the writer did this so beautifully that they're like bookends, that in the beginning, You have to notice the similarity of Peter's first calling to this account. And so what the writer is trying to communicate that is that even though there's failure, I want you to remember the first time you were called, Peter. Even though you went through the greatest devastation and greatest personal and vocational failure of your life, I want you to go back to the first call. So both of these instances happened on the Sea of Galilee. Both during both times, Peter couldn't catch a single fish. Both times, Jesus cast his water, told the disciples to cast the nets into the water. And both times, there was a miraculous number of fish caught. And I wonder if the writer is trying to tell us that when you go through your biggest failures, whether it be personally or whether it be in your job, to go back to the original call that Jesus has for you. And I can imagine Peter going through this and thinking to himself, man, this is deja vu all over again. I've seen this before. It was 3 years ago. And if you look at verse 9, it says, and they saw a charcoal fire. I know Pastor Sam alluded to this, but I don't know if he expanded on this. But this word for burning coals or charcoal fire is only happens only twice in the New Testament. And the first time is when Peter's in the courtyard and he's cold, the scripture says, and he tries to keep warm, and the Roman soldiers are surrounding themselves by a fire. And this is the instance right when Peter denies Jesus for the first time. And here again is the second and only time where we see that word for burning coals or charcoal fire. And once again, the writer does this so beautifully that he goes back to the place of failure where there was fire. And now he wants to redeem Peter again. And so Jesus sets up another fire. And I can imagine the senses that Peter is going through. He sees the fire. He smells the smoke. And I can imagine him going back to that day. The last time he smelled fire, the last time he saw and smelled fire was a devastating time, was going back to the failure. And here Jesus sets up a fire again. And so when the disciples arrive on the shore, Jesus had already provided breakfast for them. The scripture says there's fish already on the fire, and there's bread also. And, I was thinking to myself, where did Jesus get these fish? I mean, they were already on the fire when the disciples came, and there was bread already there. I mean, did he create, miraculously create this fish to happen? I don't know. But what I'm reminded is that Jesus is always able to create something out of nothing. He's not changed. He's still the same today. That when everything you have in life turns out for nothing, that God can still make something out of it. He gives health to those where there was once sickness. He gives strength to those where there was weakness. He gives life to those where there is only death. He gives hope to those when there's only despair. And he gives forgiveness to those where there's only shame. Can you handle this morning? Come on, somebody. Because he is a God of brand new beginnings. And so here, Peter, he has reached the end of himself. He is at total failure, despair, hopelessness. But we find that when you reach the end of yourself, that you come to the beginning of him. It seems to happen so many times in our lives, in my life, that when we reach the end of ourself, that's when we begin to see the beginning of him. And then this next passage in John 15, when Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" It's so fascinating. Many of us realize that there, in Greek, there are many words for love. There's agape, there's phileo, there's eros, agape, unconditional love, phileo, brotherly love, and eros, physical love. But reading this, you don't understand what's really going on until you read it in the original. And so, in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world." The word there is agape. "For God so agaped the world." And so here, Jesus asks Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He's saying, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me?" And the response in English is, "Of course, Lord, I love you." But what you don't realize in the English is Jesus asks Simon, do you agape me? And Peter's response is, yes, Lord, I phileo you. Now, that's interesting. See, you wouldn't get that in the English. And what Jesus is saying, look, throughout everything, do you agape me? Do you love me more than your life? Do you love me more than anything else? Do you agape me? Do you love me? And Peter's response is, yes, Lord, of course you know I like you. And so second time, Jesus asks, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter's response, yes, Lord, I phileo you. Do you love me more than anything? Yes, Lord, you know I like you. And then the third time, what's fascinating, knowing that Peter cannot reach the level of love and desire and devotion that Jesus is asking for twice before, the third time Jesus says, do you love me? He uses the word, do you, Peter, phileo me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I phileo you. And so we see there's a change in the way God treats Peter and the way that God meets Peter where he's at. At first he's asking, do you agape me? And Peter's thinking, oh man, you know, I denied you three times. I don't agape you. And what's so fascinating, and we've mentioned this, and I've mentioned this so many times, that I think sometimes Jesus just wants you to be real. I don't know, if it were me, you know, and Jesus asked, do you agape me? I was like, yes, Lord, I agape you. Well, not really. I kind of, I don't know, because I'm full of self-doubt. But here, Peter is so real and honest. Jesus asks him a huge question, do you agape me? And his response isn't the Bible, a Sunday school church answer. The answer is the truth and the honesty of his heart. Yes, Lord. You know what? I'm not at that level yet, but I phileo you for sure. And finally, that third time, he asks, do you phileo me? And Peter's able to confirm that, yes, Lord, you know everything. I do phileo you. And so basically, I can imagine Jesus saying in this exchange to Peter, it's like, so Peter, are you going to abandon me? Are you going to leave this adventure that I've called you to? Are you going to leave the tugs that are at your heart? Peter, why are you here fishing? Do you want to stay fishing? Or is your love for me greater than your boat, greater than your nets, greater than these people, greater than the things that represent your past? Is your love for me greater than all of your boat, all of your gear? Simon, Peter, do you love me? Three times Peter had failed, and three times he's restored. And it is done in the full view of everybody. They all knew that Peter had been restored by this interaction. And so what I want us to understand and learn is that first, no matter how gross your past may be, Jesus stands before you, not only ready to forgive your past, but to restore you. Jesus doesn't only want to forgive, he wants to restore. Many believers, we know in our head that we're forgiven, but we fail to realize that he wants to restore us once again. And so we are forgiven, but we live life like we're still sinners. But Jesus wants to pick you up by the hand. He wants to lift your head and tell you that you are restored. And so here we see from the beginning, when Jesus calls Peter, he asks Peter to move in obedience, and Peter does. And of course, in the middle of all that obedience, he fails. But Jesus, in the midst of failure, is asking Peter again to obey. And so the blessings begin and always end with obedience. They flow, the blessings flow when you're obedient. And so many of us, we come to morning prayer and we have requests before God, and we want God to speak to us, and he does speak to us. And then now we're confronted with a question of obedience. God, speak to me, speak to me. You know, we come in the morning, we ask God, God, would you speak to me? We have all of these things going on in our lives. Would you tell me what to do? Give me wisdom. And then God speaks to us, and now we're confronted with that decision. And many of us have problems because we have already a fixed idea of how God is supposed to speak to us. And see, because God is speaking to us, unfortunately, many of us say, that's not what I was asking for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God, speak to us. Okay, I want you to leave your nets, and I want you to follow me. See, God, that's not really what I was asking. See, I was kind of asking you to fix my problem. You know, I wasn't really asking you to, like, you know, ruin my life and transfer me somewhere. You see, you know, that's not what I was really asking. And the call of God on our lives is so clear. And all we want God to do is, God, I want you to make this problem go away. God, I just want you to make this situation go away. That's not what I was asking for. And so many of us want to do great things in God, but God is calling you to maybe do the humble thing. God, you know, many of us are maybe asking God to do the supernatural thing, but God may be asking you to pay attention to someone else. God may ask you to do the simple things. Finally, I just want to close with this story of a pastor that tells the story of a weak, sick man. And his condition grew worse and worse, and he couldn't afford a doctor. And so he lived in the deep woods of a forest in an old log cabin. And out in front of his house is this huge boulder, this huge rock. And one night as he was sleeping, he had this dream, and it seemed so real. And he saw an angel of the Lord tell him, I want you to go outside, and I want you to push the huge boulder outside of your house. And so he woke up early the next morning with great excitement, anticipating God to really do something powerful. And so he went outside and he pushed the rock as hard as he could, as long as he could. This rock was so massive. And so he began to push for a few minutes, and each day those minutes turned into hours, and hours into days, and days into weeks, and weeks into months. Every morning he faithfully pushed against the rock. And after 8 months, he wanted to chart his progress, and he was just tired of pushing the rock and losing the vision and being very discouraged and wondering, is this from God? Is this vision from God? Is this dream from God? And after 8 months, he wanted to measure from the porch, his front porch to the rock, to see how much of the rock that he had moved. And after 8 months of pushing, he realized that the boulder had not even moved a fraction of an inch. As a matter of fact, the boulder was in the same place that it was 8 months ago. And so the man was so disappointed because he realized that he invested so much time and energy and there was no result. He accomplished nothing. And so he was so discouraged and he was tired from his dream. And he sat on his porch and he cried out to God, God, what is going on here? And Jesus answered him, why are you so sad? And he said, God, you know that I am so weak and I am so sick. And then you gave me this vision to push this rock. And after 8 months of pushing, there was no results. The rock is right where it started. And you know what Jesus' response to him was? He said, I never told you to move the rock. I just told you to push. I never told you to move the rock. I just told you to push. And then Jesus told the man to step in front of the mirror to look at himself. And once again, as an act of obedience, of course he didn't want to because he was so dejected, he did step in the mirror. And what he found in the mirror truly amazed him. And he thought to himself, how could I have possibly missed this? That he was once sickly and weak, and now what he saw in a mirror was a strong, muscular man. He realized that he had not been coughing all night. It dawned on him that he had been feeling better for the past few months, and it was all because he was pushing and not moving this rock. The man realized the plan of God was not to change the position of the rock, but to change him. God's plan was not the rock to be moved, but to move him, to understand him, to trust him, to listen to him, to do what he says, to do the work of obedience. It is not merely so important that you live through life moving rocks, but it's more important that you begin to push against the rock. Because when you push against rocks, you become strong. Whether the rock moves or not, that's not really up to you. But what is up to us is that we obey the Lord when he says, I want you to take your nets and I want you to cast it on the other side. And the result is that the nets were filled. The way is open for a deeper fellowship with Jesus. Michael Card, who is a Christian singer, wrote a song called A Fragile Stone. And giving commentary on writing this song, he said that Simon's new title was The Rock. But this word rock doesn't necessarily signify strength. When we think of Simon being the rock, we picture him being a pillar of strength. But Michael Card was saying that it doesn't necessarily signify just strength, but it simply signifies that the rock is something that God can build with. You've got all sorts of rocks, big, little, strong, not so strong, that when Jesus is calling Simon Peter that you are Petros, the rock, it simply means you are someone that I can build the church with. And this is the kind of person that Jesus plans on building his church. And so when you look at Peter, you ought to see an average man who fails hard. And when you look at Peter, you may see yourself. But it's with this kind of material, it's with this kind of rock that Jesus builds the church. And we all are fragile stones. And so Jesus looks to Peter, and the last thing that he says to him twice, he says, follow me. In verse 22, it says, you, follow me. And once again, in the Greek, that participle is in third person present, active, imperative. It is a present, active, imperative. It is an imperative command. It is present, and it is active. And so a better translation would be, Peter, keep following me. Keep following me now. It doesn't matter how gross, how horrible your past failures have been. Don't let it discourage you. Don't let sort of the delayed to God's answers to your prayers discourage you. Just hear the words of Jesus as he says them to Peter, and he says them to you. Keep following me. May he take you to the original place of your calling. May he take you to the original place of your first love. May he take you to that place. And in times of disappointment, may you see that you are still at the Sea of Galilee, that you are still fishermen, and God is calling you out to a greater adventure. He's calling you to greater things. And he is with you. Let's pray together. I'm not sure how difficult these past months have been for you. I'm not sure how discouraged you may be. I don't know how long you've been at morning prayer. I don't know if it seems silent in your life, but don't be discouraged. This morning, before we go into our song and intercessory prayer, I just want you to humbly come before the Lord and just be real. He may be asking you this morning, do you agape me? And maybe your only response is, sure, maybe. I phileo you, God. And the Lord says, that's okay. Just come before him. And so as we pray and as we meditate, I want you to spend this time with the Lord personally and respond to him the answer to this question. Do you love me? Do you agape me? Let's pray. Just tell the Lord you love Him. Can you bring your failures before Him? Can you bring your disappointments to Him? And say, God, I want to be obedient to the call that you have on my life. Maybe it's a call to your family. Maybe it's a call to your workplace. Maybe it's a call to nations. Can you just tell the Lord you love Him? Let's join together and let's intercede. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan, for Kenny who's out there faithfully serving, for Thailand and Rachel. And as you've heard, Rachel had a motorcycle accident. She was recovering quite well, and so we need to continue to pray praise report. And God is meeting her needs in terms of finances for the hospital bills and things like that. So keep praying. Your prayers are working, and let's pray for North Korea, for Chris and the persecuted church. And there's an event on Monday raising awareness. And so let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for our countries and our missionaries. Thank you.
for the people there, God. So many innocent people, Lord, being executed. Lord, we pray for Christians there, God. We pray, Father, for the persecution that they face, Lord, every single day, Lord God, for their lives are threatened, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that passion would spring up, Lord, that revivals in 1907 would rise up again. Jesus.
Let's pray for our SP Ministries. Let's focus on Noah's Ark and Pastor Carol. Let's pray that the young ones would know Jesus at an early age. And let's pray for our youth group, and let's pray for Pastor Nain, and let's ask the Lord to really bring the youth of Hong Kong to know Christ. And so let's pray for these departments. Finally, let's pray for our house churches. They're meeting for Bonham, Kennedy, and PPHV. Pray for the leaders. Pray that it would be an Acts 2:42 fellowship. And so let's constantly lift them up. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for this brand new morning, that your mercies are new every single morning. God, we lift up our hearts to prayer. We lift up our hands and our heads to you. And Lord, we ask, Father, for your anointing and your blessing to come, Lord. And I pray that you'd speak to us so clearly, God. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Continue to intercede. Continue to pray. Thank you for coming. May you have a blessed day today. So I just want to give you some time to pray.